Hello and welcome to Bowler's Grind. I'm your host, Marshall Kennebrew. Today, I'm with co-host Kyle Michalowski, and we are discussing the USBC Open Championships that took place about 2 weeks ago. I'm describing the payouts, our thoughts. We both bowled in it. We subbed, actually. And just talking about just things that we learned. There was a lot of controversy going on through the Facebook world and in the comments, and we just wanted to kind of bring it to life. So hope you enjoy this conversation.
I agree. So at this point, let's just decide on what you think is the most important, either on your mind or what we have to get done today, because we have
USBC. That's 100%. That has to be the one we talk about first and foremost.
All right. Because, so I'm just gonna start riffing from a random place, and then, like I said, you can intro this in any sort of way, and it doesn't have to start from where I'm necessarily starting, where I'm getting into it. But I'm just going to start saying stuff, so just jump in. But, like, I, from my perspective, was looking into just not, like, the logistics of it all, but I was just seeing it from, like, a newbie's perspective, seeing everything, all the turmoil going on the Facebook world. And people were complaining. I saw people were making posts. People were in the comments. And people, for the most part, were on the same side, it seemed, that the USBC was taking far too much of the cut of what the bowlers had invested, you know, for all the different type of fees that the bowlers have to deal with, you know, out of state travels, hotels, maybe you're driving, you know, the bowling balls, there's so much the bowlers have to think about. And then for them to then see the payouts, for them to see how much the organization took out of that just from the entries, not alone the brackets, and I heard your perspective on that. I'll let you get into that in a second. But it's just like, as a newbie's perspective, my first year doing it, and I guess I'll talk about that as well, but it just looked like there was a shit show of issues with the USBC. So, yeah. Kyle, what are your thoughts with everything going on there?
Well, first off, I'm going to say that even though this looks like it's a first-time thing, this is apparently happened repeatedly throughout the history of this. It's popping up back again because they just released it. But in general, I think it was just like they need to get better at figuring out things and showing what they're paying for stuff and giving everyone a more transparent showing of what they're doing, because right now, like, I saw some people trying to break things down on Facebook on how expenses are. They said, like, people staying there and living there for the 6 months or whatever is not, or the 6 months that they spend there is going to cost a lot. And so they got to pay that on top of their actual money that they need to make from there, which I understand that. But in terms of the people, there shouldn't be that many people that they're doing that for, because all the pro shop people are all separate entities. So none of them, they're not paying for any of the pro shop people. So then it just comes down to the people running the event. And South Point has some of the people helping out running the event, so that should already come from their cut that they're paying for South Point. So there are probably 10 to 20 people that they have that they're paying for that 6 months. That's not going to be to the point where it costs $3 million. Just no way.
So I mean, like, just to jump ahead, I guess, real quick, what do you think is really going on? Do you think that it is a way for them to just pay their employees a higher threshold? Do you think they're kind of doing something with COVID? I know there was excuses with people saying that, you know, maybe they had lost some money with the COVID year and such.
They did lose money with the COVID year, but, like, the past year was 10,000 and they took, or 10 million and they took 5 million. So there's, it's absurdity. Like, you they have to be taking way more than they need to be. And what's irritating to me is this is supposed to be like the biggest, best event in all of bowling, and the people winning it are winning like what you win for a like quarter of the year tournament here in Vegas. Like, some of these amateur tournaments pay more than these, winning this tournament that is supposed to be like the biggest thing in bowling, and there's thousands and thousands of people paying $300 a pop, and they're making $10,000 for first, and like splitting it as a team, or you're making $10,000 as a single. Like, that's insanity to me.
I mean, and I agree, and see, here from my perspective, I can't be too irate. I was asked to bowl with a team from the East Coast, and they on Facebook said they needed a bowler.
Yep.
And I said, you know what, I'd like to do it for the experience. Mm-hmm. They said it was already paid for. They said just show up, and I said I'll be there. So for me, I can't be too mad. It was all just a free experience. I'm wide-eyed, figuring it all out, watching it, writing down notes. But, you know, from your perspective, did you do it this year, Kyle?
Yes. So I bowled this year. I subbed like you did. I paid for one of them, and the other one was free. And basically, I didn't bowl well, but, like, if I'm bowling, like, if I was fully paying for this thing, I'd be pretty annoyed that how to make money is by dumping 10K in brackets and hoping that I get an easy field. That's how you make money at this tournament, which makes no sense. And then on top of that, the bracket money, they take $5 per bracket that's done. So that's 8 people in a bracket. They take $5 per 8 person in a bracket.
All right, break down what you're talking about specifically, Kyle, because maybe some people might not know exactly what number you're.
In brackets, if you win all brackets, you get $25, and you're putting in $5. So for the 10 grand, it would be about 2,000 brackets, and at 2,000 brackets, that would be about 50,000. So and they're taking $5 per bracket from all the people bowling, because I don't know how many people get in brackets and stuff. Apparently it used to be better, but still, regardless, they probably made $1 million on brackets alone, and that could be going towards the people who are living there, who they're paying for. And then, like, all the other stuff, like the computers and stuff, I saw someone post about the computers. I guarantee the computers have been paid for by one of the 15 of these that have been run in the past, and they're still using the same ones. Or however many. I know they've been going for a while, so. But yeah. So those computers have been paid off. South Point's probably not charging them very much, because these people are living at, or people are going to South Point for a whole week, gambling, all that stuff, food, drinks, everything. They're there for a week, and all goes to South Point. So they're having rooms sold. All their rooms are sold out. They're getting all this money from these people, and first place is 10 grand.
All right, so break down to me again what you paid for your event, as far as, like, not just brackets, but, like, what did you pay for the doubles, singles, and the entire team event?
So for doubles and singles, I didn't pay. And for team, I paid 55, I think. Yeah, 55. And so, like, for $55... divided by 6 months, I would expect to make like at least $100,000 from that many people. bowling it. Okay. Like, what?
All right. So let's have a little fun real quick. So, like, yeah. Let's see if you're lowballing yourself. Let's see. You said 100,000, right, in 6 months. So,
yeah.
Out of that 55, this is just for singles and doubles, right?
Yep.
How many, how much of that goes towards the prize fund?
I would say probably 70% should go towards the prize fund. They should.
It should or it did. Like, what can we find out, or do we know for sure what did?
We know for sure only half went to the prize fund.
Ah, like, okay.
So a little 50, over half. So probably 54-55%.
Okay, so out of the $55, let's just round it off. Let's just say 30. Okay, right? Let's just say $30 went to the prize fund. That's fair. And how many singles entries were there?
So there's three divisions. So regular singles is 13,991 entries.
Multiply that by 30 real quick.
Okay. All right, times 30. So that's 419,730.
For one division?
Yes.
That paid 10 grand.
I don't think it paid 10 grand for singles. So it was regular, total entries, expenses, price fund. First place paid 4 grand.
You gotta be kidding.
No.
So that was just first, right? So total prize payout. How much total did they pay out, I guess, for the division would be the better question.
So they paid $181,272 total.
Half of the prize. So then what would be, let's just play the devil's, you know, advocate. What would be the argument for that being the case? Like, if you were working for USBC, what do you think they would be saying?
They would be bringing up all the different expenses, like the people staying there and stuff. But like, the absurdity is how much extra there should be. Because like, I know money scales over time, both ways, expenses and how much they're getting. So like, all these people are coming, but they're also like pack squads every day. People paying $55 a pop per squad, and you're just sitting there grinding away for a chance at 5 grand for after 6 months. I feel like they need to be paying out a lot. Like, they need to be either better on their expenses and trim the fat, one, and then two, I think they need to put a little more weight on the top. Like, the winning this tournament, I feel like, should be life changing. Like, a good amount of money should be first for this tournament. Like, this is supposed to be the cream of the crop in terms of bowling, in terms like people bowl this just to bowl, try to win an eagle. But the money behind it makes no sense. And you're just like, I would not come across the country to bowl this thing. I only bowled this because it's in town, and I refuse to bowl it with a team. I don't want to make a team for this because I don't think it's worth it. Like, the only reason I would think it's worth it is if I made a team, we set up the lanes in practice to make it easier, and we were just planning on crushing brackets. That's the only reason I would bowl this with a team where we all pay. Otherwise, it makes no sense for anyone to do this tournament.
Okay. So let me jump in there real quick. So, like, again, from my perspective, when I bowled it, singles and doubles wasn't too much pressure, just doing my own thing. And I felt a little pressure bowling with the team because I knew I was, you know, it was paid for, and I wanted it to do good. And I did well for the team. Mm-hmm. But again, to your perspective, you said you wouldn't fly out across the country and bowl this because you know that it's just a waste of time. Now, the group I was with seemed to just not really care so much about the money per se. A couple of them were drunk. A couple of them were just laughing, joking, having a good time. And some of them were bowling good drunk. And I had a great time with that group. But it didn't look necessarily like they were in it to win it per se.
Yeah.
And I think that that is possibly a big portion of people that do come out. They're coming out for that Vegas experience and a bowl. So there's that cross of that. And I think that doesn't make it a good thing because, again, does that mean that they should not get their full portion? No, that means they should still get their full portion. You wouldn't go to a, craps table and get 1% of what you should. And if you did, you'd kind of question why you would do it again. Yeah. So I look at a lot of these bowlers that were there. I did see Tom Daugherty, a couple different professionals here and there.
Yeah.
But a lot of them weren't really there to win it. It was obvious. They were just with their team. They were happy to be with their team in their team jerseys. And so I respect the bowlers that do have that kind of that love for bowling, right? But because, like you're saying, you love bowling as well, and you wouldn't even put second thought in traveling out of state to do this because of how much the money doesn't make sense. And you look at it from more of a analytical perspective of no, there's so many other events you could do that you do get the advantage, you do get the full payout. And a lot of these people out of town don't see these ADT events, whatever in town that can pay out the 10,000s, TAT, 20, there was just the TAT event, 2 weeks ago that paid out 20,000.
Yeah.
So there are other events where you can get more bang for your buck, is what you're basically saying. And so, in Vegas, go ahead.
Now, this tournament doesn't run just in Vegas. This tournament runs all over the country, but they've just been running it in Vegas a lot more just because South Point's been so accommodating. So imagine if this tournament was run in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing to do for miles. You have to literally drive an hour away to get to do something. Would you go and bowl this tournament just for fun?
Oh, if you're asking me, someone that looks like it analytically as well, absolutely.
Yes.
100% exactly. No. Absolutely.
I understand the Vegas and stuff, but we can't be giving this tournament a break because Vegas is its backboard.
Is what's happening as well, though. But you're right. You're right.
Yeah. And I saw some posts on Facebook about people complaining about Reno and saying, we're glad it's not in Reno. Well, Reno's kind of like Vegas, but it's not as good. And also on top of that, it's just kind of a little sketchier. It's like being in downtown Las Vegas. So if you're stuck in a situation like you're going to bowl this tournament, it needs to be worth it. If you win it, obviously there's people who are just going to bowl, but what happens if everything lines up and they somehow bowl the greatest game of their life and they get $10,000, which is probably a tenth of, or 10 times what they spent on the whole experience of getting there, paying for hotel, flight, food, drinks, all the gambling. They're probably, even if you include gambling, it's probably even more than or less than 10 times. And so you're doing all this at a chance to maybe 10x your money. And that's if it's in the right division.
Here's my question then about USBC. So with USBC, you've covered how it doesn't make sense, how the bowlers deserve more, how, if they're coming out to Vegas to spend money to bowl, and there is that Vegas backbone, that shouldn't be an excuse to be abused. That should be an excuse to be embrace. You know, the bowlers want to spend money on bowling, you know, and the more that they can get back from their investment, the more likely they're going to want to spend on the bowling. So it's a double-edged sword. But here's my problem with it is I don't understand what would then make all these people come out year after year after year if they know that they're getting robbed. Can you help
me? Now it's just tradition right now. They just do it out of, it's the bowling thing to do. It's the big thing. But the problem is, obviously, money and all this stuff doesn't make sense. Like, you have to bowl phenomenal to pay for your trip. And you have to bowl out of your mind to profit off this trip. Like, unless if you're like close by or something, then it's not as big of a deal. People come from like New York or even out of the country to Vegas to bowl, and they have to bowl insane just to make the trip break even or profit. And so, like, that should not be the case. If you're going to a tournament, you should, like, this money should change your life. Like, it should be a good amount of money, especially considering there's $3 million in the prize fund without including the other half of the prize fund that they have mishandled. I mean, maybe they're the expenses and I'm completely wrong, but I don't think they handled it very well. And but we need to see. Go ahead.
And I don't think that you're alone in this dispute. I think that a lot of the bowling community is either waking up to this or is just looking into it more now, and that it's becoming more apparent to them. And there's been this outcry of, I no longer will partake in certain tournaments. I've seen this kind of trend going on the past week or so. So again, you know, hopefully the bowlers will remember this come this time next year. Hopefully there will be better tournaments to bowl that include, you know, what the bowlers are looking for as far as just fairness, transparency, and getting them their value for what their investment is, you know. And I think, like I said, if you're open with the bowlers from the get-go, man, they're good people. They just want to have a good time and really gamble in the city of, you know, the home of gambling. So there, you should support that with proper odds and a proper payout. Like you said, if the money is there, give it to the bowler that deserves it and change someone's life. And over the course of, you know, a decade, that whole complaint of there's no money in bowling, it seems to be kind of, that seems to be a fallacy. There seems to be money in bowling, but it doesn't seem to be going to the right places. So any thoughts on that though?
Yeah, it's just it's something that is across the board wrong in the USBC. Because, like, for example, the Masters and the US Open only paid $30,000 for first with the best bowlers in the world, and all the PBA events are paying $100,000, if not more now, for their majors. They need to be able to start doing things. They have the fees from league. We all paid the $26 or so a year for their stuff, and we get one prize lifetime, and then they just send us these little pointless keychains or their way to make up for it. I would rather them not do the keychains and put more money towards things that would help bowling.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Now here's my concluding question to this whole situation. Do you think in your lifetime or in the next 5 years that change will actually happen?
It all depends on the people getting in, but the problem is they have like a bunch of hurdles for people to get in. Like, I was just reading, and like, some people have like 25 years of experience and they were denied getting into those very spots to start changing things, because basically USBC works kind of like a government position, and you have to apply and plead your case and all that kind of stuff. So it's very red tape and very bureaucratic, which I don't like how things being bureaucratic, but problem is this thing's running bowling, and it's running bowling into the ground.
Wow, powerful words.
Thanks for taking the time. If you made it all the way through to the end of the podcast, we're going to be doing about, like I said, 1 to 2 of these a week. We have about 2 more that are coming up in the next couple of days. We're going to be talking about the recap of the Balls and Babes tournament, and we're going to be having on our first guest, Mr. Rome Hicks, the ABT national champion about a week ago, talking about his story, how he got there, and how he won. So look forward to that, and we will talk to you guys soon.